Okay, if y'all just want to restate where we are in the discussion, we're recording now.
Yeah, this is current Chair Michael Iliklos of the Bellingham City Council. We had just begun a discussion first on the history of the policy group and then a discussion about the frequency in which we need to meet, which turns on the role of this policy group now 15 or 12 or so years into its existence. I think I saw Nancy, you wanted to speak?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to add something, and that since you are talking about going to even fewer meetings, that I've noticed all of my co-panelists have representatives on the data management team, and that data management team is where the new ideas and new proposals come from. So I move Sudden Valley also be allowed representation on the data management team.
So we have a suggestion before us to include Sudden Valley in the data management team. I don't know about the current membership of the data management team. Could a staff member respond as to what that group does and how appropriate that might be to include that additional participant?
I can respond to that. The data management team is the longest lasting subgroup of this Lake Watkin Management Program process. This process started off with several subgroups. The data management team has been active and well attended for all these years. The inclusion of Sudden Valley in the process, in this process here for policy management, was very deliberate. We didn't include them in the joint council's meetings. They aren't a government agency, and that's what the the data team and the other groups have been made of. I feel like we should keep that representation to the government agencies that are the co-signers for this Lake Watkin Management Program.
And if I may, just a point of order for the chair of the meeting, this is slightly off topic than the agenda item. I apologize, I have to leave at 3:30. So I'm wondering if that's an agenda item that could be added at a future date or at the end of the meeting.
Why? We can take a vote, I think. It is a formal motion, even though the chair did not restate it. It does not require a second because this is a small board, according to section 4, footnote 7. So I think that's the only way for Sudden Valley to get any information on what's going on. Given your discussion of going to a more infrequent time, especially since we're spending so much money on the lake now that we have this stormwater utility district, it's like we're shot in the dark.
So the chair recognizes a connection between Ms. Alanyik's recommendation and the current topic, but I think we can come back to it because the current topic is the frequency of the meetings and whether or not that suits the purposes. So if you don't mind, thank you, Renee. I'm gonna set that aside, but I do think we should come back to it. So the current idea is, and when we have our joint council's meeting would shift in future years. So you'd have an even a third. Meeting. And so really the question is, should we try to keep to a quarterly schedule, which is what we've been doing by default, or whether or not every 3 times a year would be enough where we would consider the joint meeting to function like one of these meetings. That is an occasion for the policymakers who hold the purse strings to substantial public funding to be brought up to date and to provide direction to staff. So if we can circle back to that, the current kind of, again, suggestion is to go to a 3 times a year schedule with the joint meeting being one of those three. So if we could discuss that for a while. Todd, you seem to be suggesting nothing strong, maybe four, maybe three. You asked staff whether or not that was a problem. I heard Gary say that it could work either way. Are there other board members who would like to express an opinion or comment?
Yeah, Michael, I think the 3 a year plus the joint meeting is plenty. I was here when this first started, and it's really branched out to a lot of staff work now. We've implemented a lot of things. Claire was there when we started it. It's grown into a great function now, and I think 3 times a year plus the joint meeting would be plenty.
Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Bruce Ford, Lake Whatcom Water and Sewer District Commissioner, and I believe that we would be in general support of the change to 3 meetings and the annual meeting. It seems that it suits it for the presentations that we're basically doing at this meeting.
Todd, go ahead.
So is the proposal to go to just 2 meetings and the joint meeting, or 3 meetings and the joint meeting, and 3 plus the joint meeting, or 3 total, 3 plus the joint? Yeah, I guess that's better than 2. I don't find the joint meetings a venue where we can have the kind of discussions we have in this one. I mean, there's just so many people there hearing things for the first time. But it's a different kind of venue.
You're muted, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you suggest 2 meetings a year plus the joint meeting as the functional third, as opposed to 3 meetings per year plus the joint meeting. Did I understand you correctly?
You did.
So, Bruce, I'm hearing you can go either way. Gene, maybe the 2 plus 1. Todd, I think you were suggesting maybe 3 plus 1. Yeah.
And the 3 plus 1 actually, you know, seems to be a good moderate choice right now to the district, I would believe.
Michael, Leslie's had her hand up there.
Sorry, I can't see everyone. Leslie?
I was just going to do a little bit of history because I was part of the group back when it did start. And part of the reason was that we did have a joint councils and commissioners meeting where you've got, 8 plus 8 plus 5 people trying to make decisions, and it wasn't working. It was just, they would bring up new topics and there would be so much discussion, they would last for hours. And so this policy group started in a way to come to a conclusion, to pick a topic, to discuss it, to take it back to our individual entities, and then come back and come up with a policy that we thought would suit everybody. And then you would go back to your individual councils and commissions to vote on it. Now we have gone through the different species and the TMDL and all of those discussions, which were a lot of work to go through, and a lot of policies have come out of them. You're right. We're coming down to a point now where we need to just kind of, you know, back off. There is nothing that's burning on the front burner right now. But I do believe that still having 3 meetings of the policy group during the year, as well as the joint councils and commissions, would be a good idea. And especially if you have that final meeting before the joint councils, somewhere around 2 months before it, so that you could go over and discuss anything that might come up that would be contentious at the joint council's meeting.
Thank you, Leslie. So we're an online meeting, and I've been using a modified procedure, which is basically what's called, if there's no objection, voting. It's an implied vote. What I am hearing is that the majority opinion is that we should stick to a three time a year schedule plus a fourth meeting, which would be the joint council's meeting, which is more or less what we did, I think, the last maybe 2 years. There's no motion on the table, but is there any objection to proceeding with the general assumption of three meetings per year of the policy board plus an additional joint council's meeting to occur kind of in between, say, the first and the third meetings on our calendar? Are there any objections to that proposal?
Nope.
Okay, hearing no objections, we'll consider that the will of the policy board going forward. Thank you so much for that. And then now I'd like to turn to review of the policy group plan topics for 2021 to be spaced out over our three meetings, including this one, and to look at therefore the meeting dates. So we would need to schedule two more meeting dates in addition to the joint councils and commissions meeting. I'm not clear. I can't remember who in the staff would want to lead this discussion.
I can kick that off. If I could share my screen here, I'm not able to do that. Rush, could you allow me to do that?
Do you have the ability now?
Yes, thank you. Can people see that?
Yep,
looks good.
In terms of just personal bureaucratic interest, I was saying, gee, it'd be nice if we could just keep our joint meeting in March. But the difficulty really is not having enough time to switch all the executives and get the Western Institute for Watershed Studies scheduled, et cetera. So I don't see why we couldn't potentially move the joint meeting into June, and then it would take this slot, and then we could potentially keep the September and the December meetings for this group, and then topics could be slotted in as needed. So that does fit with the broader proposal. I don't know to what extent people are already kind of set for having the joint council's meeting on March 31st. So maybe we should decide that first and then figure out what other calendar changes we might need.
So then the idea here is if we're going to this new schedule, we currently have the joint meeting kind of early in the year. Would it be in future years, it'd be easy to move that back a couple months. Shall we move it back a couple months this year, however?
Well, if I might, the presentation from Angela Strecker with Institute for Watershed Studies has been confirmed for the March meeting. I can certainly get back to her and ask for a rescheduling of that, but I don't know what her schedule is late in the quarter.
Is there any particular reason for either board members or for staff to be wedded to these particular dates, or is it just a pure matter of scheduling? And is there any particular like work program issue that influences when staff would be available and when it would be difficult or easier to present?
The only one I can think of is the AIS program review needs to occur after the season. And so that docketing that in December is convenient.
I do remember in the past, there was an argument to having the joint council's meeting earlier in the year so staff could inform the legislative members what's happening this year so that when bulldozers arrive in neighborhoods, people have gotten a heads up on that. But again, we could certainly do some of that at the policy group or in other ways. So it's probably not an essential thing. And I think that staff also felt that having that meeting kind of early in the year allowed them to just focus on their work plan. But again, I don't have a personal preference, so I could try to move it to June if people want to do that.
Well, some another reason for having it earlier is that it's an opportunity for staff to report out on the previous year's accomplishments. And if there is a, as there is every 5 years, a need to have a policy decision approving the next five-year work plan, that's just sort of logically better to do at the beginning of the work of that work plan's tenure than halfway through the first year.
Well, let me just say, I think scheduling on Zoom is a really lousy way to do that. If there's a good reason to have the joint meeting early in the calendar year, that almost would suggest that the first meeting of the year be the joint meeting to kind of set the tone to be the big report. And then there's three following meetings, which are more like work meetings, which again then leads to a break over the new year and the first big meeting that maybe in the future, like March 1st or end of February might be the joint meeting. I'm thinking out loud here because that's what I do. I don't know if other board members would like to think out loud also.
I have a question. Is there, because part of that joint meeting is when we get the update on the TMDL. Is there a data flow issue? Like, would we have more complete data in June than we would in March, or in more in March than we would in earlier? Does that have something to do with it when that meeting is scheduled?
This is Eli here. We submit our numbers to Ecology by March 31st every year. So the numbers will be finalized by the end of March.
And the other report out is the Institute of Watershed Studies annual report. They don't get that compiled until late February. And it's going, and right now it's going through staff review. I don't know if we can push them any harder to do that and get it ready for that March Joint Council's meeting or not, or for that early March or late February meeting, if that's how we rescheduled it.
I don't know about rescheduling stuff this year, but I mean, Renee had mentioned June for the joint meeting, and it seems like both from what Claire and Eli are saying that we'd be more likely to have everything, you know, on hand for a while by June than we do in late March. So that's maybe a next year thing. I don't know about this year, but.
This is Ingrid, if I can just add to that. Late March is a good, I don't think we can go earlier than that, and have staff needs time, the Institute for Watershed Studies needs time, and staff needs time to do the progress report and pull together everything for Ecology. So the end of March actually makes a lot of sense, or maybe you could go to early to mid-April, or you could push it back later, but I don't think we can go earlier. I don't think we can feasibly do February or early March.
I agree.
And just one other thing too to keep in mind is the June 1st is the opening day for all construction work in the Lake Whatcom watershed. So especially this year, we have a lot of staff involved in the Joint Council's meeting that it's going to be really busy the first week of June. So that's kind of inconvenient, but we'll make it work if that's what policymakers would like.
Other comments or ideas? So we have before us a calendar for this year. If there's no objections, why don't we go ahead and stick with this current calendar? And in the following year, we'll consider moving the joint meeting back maybe a month or so, but certainly not earlier, to evenly spread out the four total meetings. But that will be a 2022 issue. So now turning to what's before us, we have our discussions items for this meeting. Is there any comment on the proposed items for the June, September, and December meetings?
If I could back up just real quick, we could potentially decide to not have one of these meetings. For example, if we kept the joint meeting on March 31st, we could decide not to have the June meeting and then go to September and December, but that creates a big gap. So just a quick thought. Otherwise, we can certainly stick with this.
Well, given our this proposed agenda, there's we won't be missing anything if we do something like you just suggested, Mark, which is to cancel out the June meeting and go with February, March, September, December.
And these topics can be moved easily. It was just a first shot at slotting some of these in. There were some from December have not been slotted in yet, so we can do any sort of reshuffling we want. Is there a substantive loss in not having an early summer meeting?
Kind of a big gap between March and September. Mm-hmm. I thought I heard Claire suggest dropping the June meeting, whereas I thought I heard Mark suggest something a little bit different.
You're correct, I did.
Then we're just
not advocating for it, just suggesting it.
Okay, Todd, go ahead.
Is there room for any of these items that we added in December if we dump one of these meetings and then I could see if we could get through what we have here for June, September, and December in two meetings instead of three, but then would we have any time to get to some of those other issues that were added in December? That seems like it might be a challenge.
Well, September is very light at this point, has almost nothing there. This June meeting. Yeah.
The annual build out report typically takes 20 minutes to a half an hour for Kate to present and for everybody to ask her questions. So that's a small time. Anyway, it doesn't take much time. DIS early season update, we could just postpone that till December and you get it all at once. So I think if I'm understanding you correctly, Todd, yeah, we could shift those agenda items to either the September or December meeting and not lose any value there.
And still have time to have a discussion about funding for land acquisition. That was something I wanted to bring up.
Ah, well.
the items added from December won't get added.
Another possibility is just to keep this schedule for the first half of the year and then reassess whether or not we need a September meeting, for example. That way we have plenty of flexibility. And we don't run the risk of running out of time.
I think that's a good idea, Mark. If we go February, then we have a joint meeting in March and then June. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think we should stick with the current calendar just because we didn't plan ahead. I think in 2022, staff can more easily slot things into the locations based on the adjusted calendar. So if there are no objections, I'm sorry to have all this discussion, but it's good to check in. It sounds like we're going to at least go through the June calendar review for the next part of the year to see whether or not two more meetings seem reasonable or one. If there are no objections to that somewhat tentative decision, I'm sorry, it's kind of tentative. Calendaring in a Zoom meeting is not great. A related issue now is our next agenda item, which is discussion of which topics for the joint council meeting in March. We have the usual report from the Institute for Watershed Studies. What are the other suggested topics that staff is bringing forward?
I think I'd like to hear more about how the new HFAM model has changed the assumptions or changed the data that we used on the first TMDL. They are significant changes, at least the ones mentioned in the Whatcom County's new water quality assurance project plan. For instance, the HSPF, which was the first watershed model, underestimated phosphorus loads to the lake under pre-developed conditions by 25% for the year 2000 or 2003, which was the year on which the TMDL is based. And that's significant because your TMDL is going to be based on the difference between natural conditions or pre-developed conditions and what the current conditions are. So if you say, oh, pre-developed had a lot more phosphorus than we thought, then the TMDL gets a lot smaller. And I think we're looking at a significant TMDL revision just from the data I have seen in that draft quality assurance plan report and the final version. Plus, the new HFAM model demonstrated that phosphorus loads transported into the lake from the Middle Fork diversion and into Anderson Creek were three times as large as the HSPF, the first model, found. And part of that was because the diversion was never simulated as running down Anderson Creek. The water was magically transported over all that sediment in the creek and in Mirror Lake and inserted into Lake Watka. But that's another significant change. I believe in the HSPF, the diversion was 6% phosphorus. If you triple that, that's 18%. That is a major change. Now, this is just from
I'm going to stop you there. So the question is modeling. Do we, will staff be prepared to discuss the changes and updates in the modeling for Lake Whatcom, the two different models for Lake Whatcom at the joint meeting? If Nancy is correct, there are significant changes that may be contemplated. Will that be one of the topics staff is prepared to address?
I can take the first stab. So the model, there's two steps to, there's two models. The first one is the one that Nancy mentioned, is what's coming into the lake. Then the next step is how that phosphorus circulates and what happens to it once it's in the lake. That modeling is just starting right now. The county's doing that. So we just started that a couple of months ago. Actually, not even months ago, I think probably a month or two ago. And so we are a year or two out from having that end of it. And then we will present all of this to the Department of Ecology, and then we'll have the discussions that Nancy is talking about. How does that affect the TMDL loads? So I would say we're not ready to talk about that. Also, I'm not the one that would be talking about it. I want to check with that person too. But I would say we're not ready to talk about that. Probably won't be for one or probably 2 years.
And staff's been really cautious about taking draft information and promoting that or acting on it until we have both of the models completed and synced up. And then we will be running them again to get the final data information from them that will either collaborate or corroborate or disprove the draft information.
I'm not talking about draft. The numbers I quoted you were from the final. And all I'm saying is it's worth a heads up. There are changes coming.
So that does sound like a rather important topic, but maybe that's something to be scheduled for this policy group. If it's a work in progress, the significant changes are coming, but are not yet here, not yet approved, not yet adopted. So the current topic, and by the way, Nancy, we still got to come back to your other idea. The current topic is, agenda item is topics for the joint meeting. And it sounds like staff feels there's nothing yet to present on the model changes for the joint meeting. What else is on deck for the joint meeting?
Well, the IWS report will take up a half an hour or so of that joint meeting. That's something that we do every year with the joint meeting.
Is that it?
As you would recall, we did not have a joint meeting last year. due to COVID. So it will also be, we have a new five-year work plan, and we also have reported out on the previous 5 years. We won't be giving you as much detail as we had planned last year because we have 2 years to cover, but we will hit the highlights of the old, the accomplishments of the old plan, the highlights of the goals of the new plan, and the highlights of what's happened since the last time we had a joint council's meeting.
I can pull up the draft agenda if people want to look at it.
Thank you.
Sure, please do that. By the way, my battery charger for my laptop is not working. I'm at 6% battery. If I disappear, Mr. Donovan, I believe chairing the meeting would fall to you.
Hey.
I don't know why it's not working.
Way to time it that way, Michael. That's pretty good.
I don't know why it's not working.
You can use mine, Michael.
Can we talk about the new stormwater utility? I mean, it's a new fee that it's just shown up on people's bills. And it might be nice to say, this is how much we collected and this is what we're doing with the money. Not in over detail, but yeah, to acknowledge that there is this new program.
And on that, if there's a way to get some input on, is it speeding things up? And maybe it's too early to get any report on that, but yeah, just a general update on that, I think it'd be good.
Well, that utility is, I think, one of the most significant, you know, changes in the last few years. So it would be good to, I think, to include that. It was mentioned as a hoped for and expected thing 2 years ago. I don't know if the county's actually collecting, they're collecting money now, right? At least for
yes.
Since January or since when?
Yes, collecting money, I can promise you.
Yes, it started, we started collection in 2020 at half the rate, and then in 2021, it went to the full rate.
Would county staff be prepared to have a new agenda item for the March meeting on that, not expecting anything extensive, but would that be a reasonable request? And yeah, would that be a reasonable request?
I think that would be a reasonable request. The only reason I'm a little hesitant is because the person who's in charge of that utility is not on the meeting right now. But I can say I think that seems reasonable, and I'll talk to them. And if there's any problem, I'll let people know that there's an issue, but I don't think that'll be a problem.
So I'm looking at the agenda, which has 15 minutes of blah, blah, blah from important people. Sorry, that's just the truth. Then 20 minutes for the Lake Waka monitoring report from Dr. Straker. I assume she's a doctor. Yeah. 20 minutes, it probably will take that long. The Lake Waka Management Program is scheduled for a full hour, given Mr. Makowicz said that it's kind of 2 years worth of reports in one. It would be nice if we could maybe tighten up the agenda, keep it under 2 hours, and still include 5-10 minutes on the stormwater utility.
And cut back on opening comments.
Cut back on the blah, blah, blah.
Justin had a lot he wanted to say.
Justin, you're the only one Justin's here on the meeting, right?
It does seem that staff are pretty slick now in terms of presenting the overall accomplishment reports, and we've got a pretty well dialed in PowerPoint that, you know, obviously has to be updated, but potentially this could drop to 50 minutes and we could add 10 minutes for the stormwater utility discussion.
Okay, so blah, 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 each executive gets only one blah.
Put them on a 3-minute time period like everybody else is. That'll work out.
Okay, so I'm trying to make room in the agenda, stay under 2 hours, for just some information to the public and other policymakers on the stormwater utility. Are there anything else to add or subtract to the joint meeting agenda?
I just want to point out, just certainly we can have a specific discussion about the new utility, but keep in mind that the utility is funding all these different components mm-hmm. that are already rolled into all yeah. of our regular work plan. So it's embedded in there.
Yeah, the Stormwater Utility District is considered an accomplishment of the Lake Waccamaw Management Program in 2020. So we certainly can include it in this.
Well, given that, would you put it as agenda item after agenda item 4 as a new item 5 or before agenda item 4 as new item 4?
I believe it's a component of 4. There's a lot of detail in 4 there that's not, that's a general category.
So we could expand the report on the stormwater utility to meet your expectations by just adding it to its where it's slotted in on agenda item 4.
I think it'd be good to include it as a separate bullet point to make sure that it's noted. But if you'd like to embed it in that as an accomplishment, as a funding mechanism to achieve the work plan, that would make some sense.
I like it as its own bullet point too. I mean, I don't know where to go sit in. But
I would say kind of
30,000 foot overview of what it's collected and what capacity it's generated. And it'll all, it will have already been referred to in reports, but probably not in the fiscal.
Okay, I've got 2% battery, folks. Really.
We have an ICT meeting tomorrow, staff only, to talk about this stuff and coordinate. But I, before you disappear, Councilperson Lilliquist, I just want to be clear if we should include the city stormwater utility, a discussion in that as well, because this new stormwater utility is county only. So county staff would take care of that. But if we wanted to talk about what city utility fees go to fund in the Lake Waccamaw watershed, we add some parity to that discussion if there's an interest in that.
I don't think so. I think the county stormwater utility is new. It's added, it's additional. I would just simply treat our stormwater utility as part of the accomplishments. Mr. Donovan, I am going to hand over control of the meeting to you now, even if I'm still here.
You can just dim your screen and save your battery.
I've already tried to dim it, yeah.
Okay, so we're finishing up on the agenda here. Is there a consensus there that we'll have that bullet point as a separate shout out for a few minutes about the stormwater utility district?
One quick comment from Todd Citrin, if I might.
Gotcha, Todd. Go ahead.
Just on the language, and you just did it, and Eli did it earlier. It's not a district. It's part of the public works, and it's just the utility. And I think that is an important distinction. I get quite a few comments and questions with people thinking that this stormwater utility is some other entity. And I think that it's just an important just sort of language distinction. So just a quick comment and I know.
That's a good point. It was my misspeaking and Mark already got it in there as utility. So
yes, thank you. Yeah.
So are we good with the joint meeting agenda?
Yeah, I think it looks good.
Okay, well hearing, and I'm kind of toggling between screens here. So seeing nobody else with concerns about that, we'll move to the next agenda item, which is land use recreation at Lake Whatcom, the kind of main part of our agenda today. Who from staff is gonna take this one on? Or is this just gonna be
If I might at least introduce it, Michael Parleskin with the city is here and he's been sitting on that land Managers Committee. And I think Michael McFarland has also been participating. He's still on mute and he might be ignoring me, but I was hoping that we could at least give an update on how it got started and what's transpiring in this committee. And Mike is prepared to do that, Mike Parleskin. And I would suggest that Mr. McFarland jump in whenever he wants to. So. Michael, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna stop my video because I don't have a great connection out here. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So over the past year, we've kind of had a trend of increased visitation to all public land across Whatcom County, as you all can imagine with COVID. And it's a great place to be during our current events. And this has caused a major increase in conflict between trail users and a surge in development of user-built trails. And this has been a symptom across all public land in Whatcom County. So we started a little group of folks who are land managers. So my program, the Watershed Acquisition Program with the city, county parks, city parks, state parks, Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Land Trust have all sort of come together to have a collective voice and try to come up with some solutions to the issues we are facing, for me in the watershed and for others, kind of every, you know, all across the county. There has been a number of issues we've sort of touched on. The big one that brought us together was the unsanctioned trail building. There really aren't any land managers who have the capacity to play the whack-a-mole that's necessary to deconstruct all the unsanctioned trails that are popping up at this point. So we've been working on drafting a letter that sort of that'll be signed at ideally director levels from all the different agencies, to local user groups, to you know, I guess namely Whatcom Mountain Bike Coalition, just to highlight what we need and what kind of support we need in the messaging to some of the different user groups of our trail networks. So some of the other topics that we've touched on that having sort of this collective voice is ideal to apply is some of the internet applications that also lead the sort of lead to, you know, mountain bikers particularly finding unsanctioned trails, such as Strava Trail Forks or other online mapping applications. We've talked about e-bike policy, as well as permitting policy and enforcement related to these activities. So yeah, we're just in the kind of beginning stages of our group. We do have a letter drafted that we're currently editing, and yeah, it's been good to touch base with other land managers and see what kind of solutions other folks are coming up with for such an incredible increase in visitation to our public land. Yeah, that's it.
We got any questions? I've got a couple, but
I'd just like to add one thing to this is that part of the problem here is that we're trying to reach out to the Whatcom Mountain Bike Coalition, but part of the problem is what we're calling rogue trail builders who aren't necessarily using the Whatcom or the Whatcom County mountain biking community, the official community, as a base. They're just out building trails on their own with no communication with the main group and certainly no communication with the land managers. So we're trying to get to the organization that has their heads up, the ones that has taken responsibility for some of the work that's going on in the county, but they are no means represent the whole community of trail builders that are of concern.
Where are we seeing the most issues with the unsanctioned trails?
Yeah, I would probably say the Lake Whatcom watershed is likely hit the hardest, just because there's so much relief and topography that's ideal for building mountain bike trails. Unfortunately, it's also the type of terrain that's the least sustainable and damaging to the watershed.
North Shore and people, is it more concentrated on the, like around the new park on the north side? Is it people coming over from Galbraith coming into the watershed from there? Is it just sort of kind of equally distributed?
I'd say it's less, this year it's less of a connection from Galbraith and more just spread across the south side of the lake. But yeah, it's really everywhere.
So you mentioned e-bikes. This is something that I don't know if parks, who would actually make a policy on that? Is there a discussion that, you know, are these are these allowed, or does code have to be changed to deal with them? Is that part of the discussion of this group? I think you froze, Michael, if you're with you.
Yeah, I guess, right. As far as policy goes, we, you know, my particular program is the watershed acquisition program. We definitely are not recreation focused. However, we do allow for some trail connections with the Galbraith Trail Network and with Whatcom County Parks and, you know, their reconveyance and trail plan that goes along with it. So our policy is, you know, ask before you build, and, you know, we accept the trail plans, and then we kind of do it on a case by case. But yeah, illegal trail building is still, you know, for us in our program in particular, it can be sort of looked at as a trespass, really. Mm-hmm. Because we operate a little bit more like a private landowner in the Lake Whatcom watershed, which is outside of city limits.
I see Mr. McFarland just turned on his camera. And the other big issue with one of the other big issues with the increased recreational uses is the need for parking and toilets and that sort of stuff. So, and that's maybe more a question for Mr. McFarland and County Parks. But Mike, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I believe our staff has been involved somewhat, but I'll look into that a little bit more. But in terms of e-bikes, that would be a policy and county code issue that would go before the county council on the county lands. Right now, motorized vehicles are not permitted by code on some of our trails and that, so the council would have to decide if they would want to change that. We are looking into restrooms. We're in a planning process right now for Lake Whatcom Park in terms of restrooms and parking, because we're undersized there. However, we do have restrooms at Lookout that are there. I would say that in terms of mountain bike use, it's probably a little heavier on the Lookout Mountain side than it is on the Lake Whatcom side, but it is occurring everywhere. And there's concern by other trail users as well, as far as conflicts and impacts and encroachment onto whether it be equestrian trails or hiking trails and the crowding. So we're looking seriously at that.
Any questions for either Michael? Yeah, the e-bike thing's gonna be interesting. Because that's just, it's getting a lot more potential access, which people who might not normally be able to get into some train would be able to.
Quick question, if I might.
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I just wondered, I brought this up periodically over the years about the idea of putting a kiosk at the parking lots in the different park trailheads that would describe stormwater issues, but also have a voluntary parking fee, so that some revenue could be generated by folks actually visiting these trails to be, you know, directed to, you know, either, you know, the trail maintenance that would be associated with stormwater mitigation. So I'm wondering if that's thought to be more expensive to implement and not worth the both the educational aspect as well as the revenue, or too much of a maintenance hassle, or whether that has an idea that's still being knocked around. Thanks.
And we want to respond to that. But this is going to be, I mean, there's going to be more bikes.
I guess that would be for Mr. McFarland.
Yeah, Mike, did you want to respond about information kiosks or volunteer?
Yeah, we do have some information kiosks out there, and I believe we have a couple of them on the watershed. I know on the Hertz Trail, as you enter into that particular trail, there's a bathymetric map of the lake and some other information, but we can follow up on that and take a look at it a little closer. As far as voluntary donations or parking fees, we've avoided that. But part of it is just the control and upkeep of that. But we can certainly discuss that.
Yeah, but this is a good discussion, that just illustrating that this is only going to be, the use is only going to increase, I think, particularly if bikes get easier for people to use to get into places. And at one point, are we going to have to be talking about some sort of enforcement mechanisms years to come? So any other questions about that stuff? Okay, the next and last item we got is Department of Fish and Wildlife proposed redevelopment project for the South Bay boat launch. Who's on that one?
Ingrid. So that's me, Ingrid, with Whatcom County Public Works. And I'm going to start off with a little teeny tiny slideshow for people like me who don't know very much about the south end of Lake Whatcom. Do I have screen share? Rush, are you still there? Can I please have screen share?
Yep, you bet. Hang
on one Thank second. You.
Okay, there see if you've I got am. The good to go.
Thank
okay.
you. Okay. So I am, you know, representing ICT staff here in general to give you an update on a proposal by the Department of Fish and Wildlife to redevelop and improve the boat launch in the South Bay of Lake Whatcom. So quick orientation here on the map, the project location down here in this little, the west part of South Bay near the Wildwood Resort, can get there from Lake Whatcom Boulevard or I-5 to Alger. This is the parcel where the boat launch is located. It's actually owned by Whatcom County Public Works, interestingly enough, and undeveloped up here on the hill. But down below this little small sliver of land between South Bay Drive and the lake is split. It's all gravel parking lot. You have the boat launch, very simple, just gravel parking lot, gravel boat launch, and then gravel parking lot with a fire station. So there's an agreement with Fish and Wildlife going back to 1982 to operate a boat launch here, and a more recent lease, a 30-year lease with Fire District 18 to use this fire station for their operations. And here's just a little, so just so you get an idea of what it looks like. This is the boat launch, the boat ramp, sorry, launch and fire station. And as you can see, it's a gravel mess. We went out on a very rainy day. So I'm gonna stop the screen share. That's just to give you an idea what this site looks like and where it's at. So the, as I mentioned, this parcel is owned by County Public Works. So we're both the landowner and getting involved as part of this bigger Lake Whatcom management program. The Fish and Wildlife, Department of Fish and Wildlife recently submitted and got grant funds through the Office of, I always say it wrong, the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office to improve this boat launch, primarily driven by improving accessibility for people with disabilities. Their proposal includes converting the current gravel parking lot area to pavement. Of course, that would trigger code requirements to bring it up to current code with stormwater treatment. They're proposing to install a vault toilet that's accessible. There's no toilet there besides a porta potty right now. And installing a new dock, which there currently is no dock. The original plan was for construction this year, 2021. Most likely there is an option to push that back a year, and that might be a likely scenario. So Fish and Wildlife contacted County Planning and Development Services in late summer, early fall, and sort of initiated the permit review process. So they've gone through some preliminary shoreline, the pre-conference for their shoreline application and their package of all of the county permits that would be required. They have completed a CEPA already and gotten their HPA and CORB permits through the JARPA process. As The Lake Whatcom Management Program staff became aware of this project in December, and our AIS staff has raised a lot of legitimate concerns that we are currently kind of taking a little time out and working with Fish and Wildlife to address those concerns and gather more information. So we mainly wanted to bring this up to make sure you were aware of it. It's of course another example, ties into the recreation theme, right? So lots of demand on this small site. And with that, I will, if there's any other staff members that would like to add anything, and then we can turn it over if you have any questions. So we're still trying to gather more information as a staff and have some more conversations with Fish and Wildlife to determine kind of the pros and cons and what the next steps are for this project.
Thanks, Ingrid. We got any questions or other staff comments?
I'll just throw in that Ingrid probably said this already, but you know, the big thing with the AIS program is there's not a lot of space there. So if we're going to have an AIS check station there, we just need to make sure we can accommodate the AIS check station. There's also really no parking there essentially. So that's another issue that we're talking about with Fish and Wildlife. As well as we're wondering if it is improved or if there is a dock put in, what impact will that have on its use? And then of course, if there's no parking, you know, what's the impact there? So those are the things those are some of our concerns, and those are what we're talking to Fish and Wildlife about.
And very quickly, a related concern is that as that facility gets more and more use with the current parking conditions, there are safety issues, not only with our AIS staff, but just with other people transiting on foot from the launch to their boats or to their cars or whatever. So we've brought that up with DFW, and they're also now sensitized to that.
Actually update.
Yeah. So there's definitely a pros and cons discussion just in terms of this proposal. Yeah.
So you'll come back to us with how this is playing out with Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that if that's what you'd like.
Yeah. An update. Keep us posted.
Yeah. Any other questions?
That's what we have in the agenda. There was the one item. Are there any questions, more questions for Ingrid? There was the item that Nancy brought up about the data management team, and I wasn't quite tracking that. So it was a motion. I've been on this committee for, I don't know if we have to really vote on stuff. And I don't know who, under what ordinance or resolutions the data management team is set up. So I'm not sure how to proceed on this, or if this is the venue to proceed on that. I don't know what the data management team is, to tell you the truth. Go ahead, Nancy.
Let me tell you what I go through now to get information on the current state of data in the lake. It takes me 24 minimum public record requests to the city of Bellingham, because I have to do a separate to get the agenda. I have to do a separate to get the minutes. And then beyond that, and if I miss the date wrong, it's turned back and I start over again, which is a problem because I never know what date their meeting is. That's not public. So just in interest of city staff time going through the numerous data requests, and I may be the number one public record requester of the city of Bellingham by the time I'm finished. And it's all trying to get information from the data management team, because every time there's a report put out, I have to request it. And I don't know if a report's cut out until I read about it in either the minutes or the agenda, usually in the agenda when somebody mentions such and such report. That's how I tripped across the quality assurance quality assurance project plan. plan.
No, I can understand that. That's frustrating, but I just don't know if the policy group has a say in who's on that group. Is that
every other panelist on this group has access? Mr. Ford for the Lake Watkin Water and Sewer District is on that, or has access to it. He is on the agenda. Multiple people from the county and the city are, and multiple people from the Lake Watkin Water and Sewer District are.
Well, just somebody from staff can help me out here. But I if there is something that authorized that team, that would be the entity that would have to make the decision about who's part of it. It'd be my understanding. I don't know. We, as the Watkin Policy Group, can tell if it's a city thing. Tell the city who's part of it.
Well, it's county and city, friend. Lake Watkin Water and Sewer District, as far as I can see.
So I recall when the decision was made, and I might be wrong here, but is it when the decision was made to add Sudden Valley to this body? I think the joint councils were the decision makers on that, or at least the executives. And I would like to respond and sort of personally, but you, Nancy, have made the choice to go through FOIA to get that information. We've been cooperating with you for a couple of years now and getting you the agendas. And we've made that commitment to get you the agendas and the minutes without going through FOIA. So you continue to choose to do that. That's fine. That's your choice. But I would like to make it clear that staff has been willing to cooperate with you and not require that process.
It stopped. Briefly, yeah, I did get a few things. And then it stopped. And this is really frustrating because I'm a geologist. I have 2 degrees, a professional license, and this kind of data is what I've worked with for almost 40 years. Professionally in industry.
Okay, but we can't, and I guess somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but when Sudden Valley was added to this group, that probably took joint action. There was this group set up with an interlocal, or was it just an informal resolution or something? But it was the councils that made that decision. We I don't think can just add people to this group, let alone add people to a group that is separate from this group. So, I understand your frustration, Nancy, but I think that's we should figure out who authorized the composition of the data management team and start with that. But I know it's not this group. So,
yeah, this is Mark. I don't know the history myself, and I have no personal substantive preference of any sort, but to the extent that it's under the auspices of the Lake Whatcom Management Program. That program was created with an interlocal between Whatcom County, City of Bellingham, and the Lake Whatcom Water and Sewer District. And then that authorizes a number of additional activities to take place under that umbrella. So I think it would have to be, if that team is somehow authorized under that interlocal, it would have to be brought somehow to the 3 jurisdictions.
Yeah, that'd be my understanding. So I don't think it's something we can act on.
Well, I don't think that's how Sudden Valley got added, through an amendment or whatever to your interlocal agreement.
Well, let's have
a resolution at the joint council's meeting in 2014.
Was it a resolution for the joint council?
Well, I can look for it, but I don't know how long it'll take me to find it. But
I think... maybe Mark, you can look for that when you know time's available for that. But that's my understanding, that it would be the councils that determine the composition of this group or those groups. So, I mean, we could move and approve the motion, but I don't think that would have the effect.
Had said, you had mentioned my name as attending the meeting. I attended the meeting in an interim period when we made a change with our general manager, and now our general manager attends that meeting. It's a highly technical meeting. It's a work group meeting, and I would expect, you could be provided with the literature at that meeting, but I think that for people to participate in that are not part of the city and county workers, that are actually the highly technical people doing the work, I think it's a really limited benefit.
Oh, I don't want to participate. I just want to listen to the topics they're bringing up and have access in a timely manner to the reports they're looking at.
Which I understand that, but again, I think this is something that this policy group really doesn't have jurisdiction over. So
even if I listen in.
That's, again, that's a group that we don't have.
How about being on the distribution list then for your agenda?
So this is a conversation you seem to need to have with them, not necessarily with the policy group. So
who is them?
The data management team or the entities that set up the data management team. It's something that just isn't our domain here as a policy group. So
well, we set it up.
And just for the record, Sun Valley was added in 2014 through a joint resolution of the Bellingham City Council, the Whatcom County Council, and the Lake Whatcom Water and Sewer District Commissioners.
Yeah. So, but we.
And to answer your request, Nancy, I've already said that we have committed to providing you with the agendas and with the minutes as they're available. So.
It didn't happen, Claire. It just didn't.
I'm sorry.
Happen.
I disagree with you.
Or it happened for about 2 weeks or two meeting sessions, and then it ended.
Okay, well, I think
check the records.
I think we're getting a bit off our agenda here. I understand your frustration, but I don't think that's something we can resolve. So,
well, thank you for entertaining it, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Well, I hope you actually get access to this stuff, but it's not something we can do through this committee. Or group. So that's the end of our agenda. It's 4:23. I think we're ended on time. Any closing comments? All right. Well, I will adjourn. I don't see Michael. His battery is dead. So everybody have a good day. Thanks.